Afternoon, and welcome to the Tabernacle Deliverance Sunday evening service. As I always say, we'll be broadcast on Tuesday night on Daily Gospel Network TV. Amen. And listen, I want you to know that God cares about you more than you care about yourself. Somebody said, I care a lot about myself, but then you know God cares more about you. I'm just excited about what God is doing for us, with us, through us, and with us each day. I'm excited. Why not? Why should I be sad when I can be excited about what God is doing today? I'm just blessed to see another day. Amen. Some people didn't get to see today. Some people didn't wake up. They went to sleep last night and never got to wake up. But I thank God for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. I'm just happy. Bow your heads for a minute and let's pray and get started. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. I'm asking that you touch every liberal soul under the sound of my voice. Oh God, that you touch every heart, mind, and soul, oh God, and encourage them. Oh God, to walk with you, to be with you, to learn your word. Oh God, and obtain eternal life for themselves. I thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of quick announcements, real quick. Listen. Now, we know that we do the broadcast, but I also would like you to visit our Twitter page. That's at Tabernacle Lower. What do they call it? Low hyphen. I don't know. Right. What is it?
A dash.
Not the lower dash at INC. That's at Tabernacle Lower Dash INC. And on YouTube, you can find us at TabernacleDeliveranceINC.org. That's the TabernacleDeliveranceINC.org. Look for me, Pastor Bernard Wells. You'll find me over there. All right. Now, get your Bibles and let's go to church. Amen. Well, you're already at home, so you can have church, or you in your car, or on your job, wherever you're listening or watching this broadcast today. Sit back and let God do something special for you. Today's message is an interesting message that most people lack, actually, in their personal lives. In general, even in churches they go to, and that's being in God's presence. So our topic tonight is in His presence. Now, over the years, I've heard many people talk about being in the presence of God. It's interesting about being in the presence of God. Because, let me give you a quick example. Let's say you like football. Come on, most a lot of people like football. A basketball, a baseball. And what happens is when you're at the game, you just so happen to see one of the baseball, basketball, football stars in person. You're going to get excited. And that's one of one of the guys on the team. That's your favorite. And you get to see him in person. You're going to be excited. It's like seeing a movie star. You're going to get excited when you see one of them. You're one of their big fans. Of course, they don't know you're a fan. But then you see them, you're all excited. Can I have your autograph? I'm serious. You get excited. So it's more far greater when you get in God's presence, because He's the main man. He can make anything happen. So many wealthy people can make some things happen for you if they really want to do something for you. They can. They meet you. They like you. They may do something. They might buy your house, buy your car, whatever. But with God, you get in His presence. That's the ultimate. Let's get to the word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 says, listen to this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Let me read this again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. That's heavy, right? You can't hide from God. But Adam evidently didn't realize that. Adam had no clue that you could not hide from God. When God started walking in the garden, God was coming down to hang out with Adam and Eve. He was coming to hang out with them. They were going to be in his presence. They were going to be able to hang out with him, fellowship with him, talk about whatever. Maybe they could walk in the garden with him or whatever the case may be. But now, as you know the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve, but I want to just tell you something about Adam and Eve. They did not eat an apple. Though in the Bible it says they ate an apple. They did not eat an apple. They didn't pick up some apple and start munching on it. The Bible said a fruit from the tree. Didn't say an apple. Everybody remember saying, God said they ate an apple. They lying. God never said they ate an apple. They said they ate a fruit. So now the Lord has come down. He wants to hang out with them. They hiding. And God walks and say, Adam, Adam. Where you at, man? Adam says, I'm over here behind the bushes. He said, what are you doing behind the bushes? Oh, I'm behind the bushes because you could see me naked. He said, who told you was naked? God already knew they messed up. He's going to see what they're going to say. That's how God operates. He wants to know what you're going to say about your mess. He wants to know if you're going to acknowledge that you messed up, that you destroyed the fellowship you had with him. If you ever had one. In this case, they had one and they destroyed it. They got wrapped up in a mess and destroyed their relationship with God. Men always blame the woman for the downfall, but I can prove that the man is the downfall. Man caused his own downfall because God told him to name everything in that garden. God told him not to touch that tree. Even if Eve wasn't needed, God would have gave him another wife. Hello? Y'all can't cite me. But anyway, as the scripture says, they hid from the presence of God. Now, we're trying to get to the presence of God. These turkeys are hiding because they know his presence is holy. They now were sinful and unclean. They can no longer be in God's presence. They can no longer fellowship in his presence because he don't like sin. He can't stand it. But however, they knew this. Adam knew that he had lost out with God. Adam knew that the fellowship that he once had with God was gone. Total wipeout. Adam knew that his relationship with God was over with and finished. It was gone. It was just something that could not be replaced. It was cut off. Hiding from the presence of God. Man today is trying to get into God's presence. Because Adam caused us to lose out eternally from being living directly in God's presence. Now we have to seek after God to get in his presence. Did you hear me? Now we got to seek after God to get into his presence. Now we got to call on the name of the Lord. Adam messed up everything. And he blamed Eve now. He blamed the woman. He even told God the woman made me do it. The servant beguiled her, and she psyched me. And God, like, I ain't accepting none of this. Now, go take some big trees and cover your behind. Get out of my sight. And as we all know the story, it took forever and ever, amen. The restitution to properly be made with the death of and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's really something to think about. Let's move on. Let's go to Job chapter. Let's go to Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 and verse 7. Job chapter 2 verse 7 says, listen to this. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. That's what the crown, that's what they mean by crown. Let me read it again. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his feet unto his crown. That's something to think about, right? That is something to think about. I constantly tell people that the devil already knows what heaven is like. He already knows what it's like to have been in God's presence. We, the church, is trying to find out. But yet we want to play with Satan's tools and try to do with God's tools at the same time. The Bible makes it plain, you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to love one or hate the other or cling to one and despise the other. That's it. Not two sides. Not two sides. Amen. It's not two sides. Either you're going to love one. They don't get along. They don't like each other. They despise each other. They hate each other. They don't love each other. They don't like each other. Don't let nobody fool you. The devil and God get along. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Satan left the presence of God, got permission to go afflict Job. This is something you got to understand. Being in God's presence is the ultimate glory. Brother Oliver passed away a few months ago. And someone said, oh, I wish he would come back. He would be here with us now. Oh, me personally, I would love to have him here because we used to get together on Saturdays and have coffee. And he, because he was a chef, and he'll make me some nice lunches. Sometimes he makes some lunches I want to run away from. But anyway, he makes some great dynamic lunches. And but only problem with him, he was a real chef. He didn't really believe in giving seconds. I used to like to get seconds. And you ain't getting none here. However, now that he's in the presence of God, he wouldn't want to come back here under no terms. Why would he leave the presence of God? I remember he told me years ago, Pastor Wells, when my heart stopped, do not let nobody revive me. That's what he told me from his own mouth. He said, when my heart stopped beating, I don't want no one to try to revive me. Do you understand me, son? I said, yeah. I didn't pay him no mind, but I understood what he meant later. That he did not want to return back to this earth. But what? He done lived a good life here. He wanted to go home to glory. He wanted to get into God's presence. When you look at this verse, it's very interesting that Satan at one time was in God's presence and he went there for a purpose. He went back to heaven and told God about Job. Job only serving you for the money and stuff and the land and cattle he got. Other than that, God, he ain't serving you for nothing. Satan thought that he psyched God by telling God that, or moved God when God was going to weep and cry. But God already knew who Job was. That's the thing. You got to be in a place where God, when God already know who you are. So the enemy comes trying to tempt you or discourage you or meddle with you. God can smile and say, I know he ain't gone nowhere. I know he's going to stay and obey my word. I know he's going to walk before me. And he will be in my presence. Amen. That's what happened with Job. You read the whole story of Job. Job wound up with more than everything he had in the beginning. He suffered. Some of us suffer in the flesh. Some of us suffer financially. Some of us suffer mentally. But God had the last say. I always say that. Because it's a fact. It's not a theory. So the scripture says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And smart Job was saw a boy from the crown of his feet to the sole, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. But this is interesting. Satan was in God's presence. What the enemy does today, he plays sight games with us. He doesn't want you ever, ever to get in tune with God. That's the worst thing in the world that could possibly happen. Because he know if you get in tune with God and stay in tune with God, the minute you die, you're going straight to glory. And that's something he don't want. That's another lost soul to him. Amen. That's another lost soul to him. So he just lost out on another soul. And whatever demons that he has signed to destroy you, he's going to use them as public examples of what he do to demons that don't complete their job. Amen. That's something to think about. He don't want you to hear nothing about holy living. Because when you learn about holy living, you learn that God is holy. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, peace, by the Lord, man, and holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Therefore, you're not going in his presence. Well, glory. I watch a lot of broadcasts, TV broadcasts, online broadcasts. I very rarely ever hear them preaching, ever talking about being holy because God is holy. They don't talk about holy living. They talk about feeling good, getting rich or die trying, and send me $500 and I'll send you my free book. This is the age of spiritual ignorance. You know why I say it's the age of spiritual ignorance? Because people won't take the time and read the word of God for themselves. You got smartphones, tablets, desktop, laptops, smartwatches. I think Google even came out with the glasses that you could go online with. Nothing is will be an excuse when you stand before God to be judged for the things that you did. Because he's going to say, you had everything available to you, but you never took time to seek after me. And then you'll say, nobody never told me. And God's going to say, but there was this guy named Pastor Bernard Well that told you you need to seek after me. Woo! Satan went before the presence of God for one purpose. Not to glorify God. Not to worship God. You got to watch, folks. Everybody that come to church and fellowship with you is not interested in God. They're interested in bringing you down. The Bible said, know those that labor among you. The Bible said, why call me no Lord and do not the things I say do. If you got friends telling you to do things wrong, get away from them. They're not your friends. They're the devil's tools to destroy you. And I've seen it happen. People run around saying, I don't believe in God. Ah, he's a myth. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in religion. Well, I don't believe in a religion either. I have salvation. But I want to tell you something. You being an atheist make you a follower of atheism religion. You are a religious atheist because you don't believe in no God. That's your belief. You firmly stand on it that there is no God. That's your belief. That's your religious belief. That's your religion. How you serve your religion is up to you. After you spend your life in your religion of atheism, you'll stand in the presence of the devil, and he will surely make you an example. That's a fact. But not obeying God. Amen. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. People go through a little, they break their finger, a fraction of their finger, they screaming for mercy. They bang their foot, they screaming, oh God, why me? If Saul, his Job got boils from his feet to his head in pain and aching. Boils busting on the pain and aching. And then they got the nerve to complain about a little finger. I have a niece, one of my nieces. I never forget this. She was in school. She called me, Uncle Bernard, come and get me. I thought something was wrong. So I went and got her. And then she wanted something to eat. So I took her to McDonald's or somewhere. We said, I said, what's wrong? You know what she told me? I hurt my finger a little, my nail. I look out like she was crazy. She wanted to skip school for a finger, a nail. That's how we are. It's small things. We cry for mercy. Oh, God. Oh, God. But here was Job, a man suffering. But God honored that man and gave him more than everything he had before he started.
Amen.
Let's move on. Let's go to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And verse 3, listen to what it says. Listen to this. This is some of us. Listen to this. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went into the boat to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me read that again. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went in and down into it to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here's a man. God, let me tell you a little about Jonah. Everybody heard a little bit about Jonah. Jonah is the guy who God told personally. He said, Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh and tell them I'm going to destroy all of them unless they repent. Jonah says that he said, yeah, okay, God. Let me tell you, Jonah said, I ain't doing nothing. Jonah took off running from God. Jonah ran. He was running from God. He's running now. He's running. Little did he know God was watching him run. That's kind of funny. The God looking down, looking at him. Said, what is he doing? He's running. Ooh, fast as he can. He went down there, scraped his money together for his trip, got on that ship, and sat quietly from the presence of the Lord. This man was in the presence of God. Do you hear me? He was in the presence of God. Now he's running from him because God gave him a message. But Jonah failed to realize you cannot hide from God. You can't hide from him. That's what's so amazing about God. It's funny.
Amen.
Jonah's running. It's like a criminal running through a building, and all the cameras, he's running by each camera, and they're just watching him and just deciding which spot should we pick him up at. He's running on through the building, passing, not realizing he's passing all the cameras watching him. And I guess security decided, let's wait till he get over there by the food market, because he's probably hungry, and we'll just go collect him. That was the case of Jonah. I'm not kidding you. God let him run. He just let him run, pay his fare. He paid his fare, got on the boat, chilling out. All of a sudden, these merchants on this boat got serious issues. The boat is being about to be capsized and ripped to shreds. These are men that spend time at sea. They say there's something wrong. We don't have this kind of problem when we go out to sea. Something is wrong. They're looking around. And they see Jonah sitting there. Oh, man. See if I could give you, those of you that watch, an example of what Jonah could be doing. This is Jonah with a book. He's reading through the book. The ship is being ripped. The people are beat some plies aside by the water. And Jonah just sitting there cooler now, flipping the pages in the book. Now the merchants are terrified. And they look at Jonah. And they say, wait a minute. This is your first time on our ship, right? He said, yeah. He said, what are you doing here? He said, well, the Lord God Almighty told me to go tell Nineveh that he was going to destroy them. So I ran before I could do it, because I didn't want to do it. You know, I don't want to do what God says. So I ran from God's presence. When they heard him say, you ran from whose presence? I ran from God's presence. He said, you ran from God's presence? He said, man, you got it. You trying to get us killed, right? No, 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 man. I just ran from God's presence. Well, to cut the story short, they took Jonah and threw him in the water. And the sea clam and got quiet. Let's move on. Don't run from the presence of God, because he knows where you live. He knows where you're at. Oh, yeah. I ran too. When God first called me to pastor, I was in the very church that I was going to pastor, and he told me. And I said, no way, buddy, I'm out of here. I ran for about 7 years. I sure did. It was tormenting too. I would hear them calling me. I'm driving in a car, and I'm like, oh, yeah, leave me alone. I can hear him. When I decided to go, I really got tormented. Those people put me through. I'm saying, but Lord, I did what you told me to do. You did it when you were ready. So now you're going to pay for it. I learned my lesson. Let's move on. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's read that again. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when the time of the refreshing from the Lord, the refreshing shall come from the Lord, from the presence of the Lord. Something you got to do if you want to take part in God's presence.
Amen.
You got to repent of your sins. I know preachers don't talk about repentance no more. That's their business. They're going to give account to God. He said, when you add and take from my word, I'm going to add and take from your part and turn in the book of life. Amen. That's what he said. They better read that Bible. He said to repent. Why? He said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. Amen. When the time, and that time shall come, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's something, God's presence. Getting in God's presence is so important. Healing and deliverance, miracles, salvation, life-changing power, home restoration is in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. When you get in the presence of God, you can receive those things. You ain't got to pay no money for that. Ain't no special prayers for that. Nobody can get you in the presence of God but you. That comes from your personal life, your personal dedication with God. When you build a relationship with God, you will get in his presence. Hallelujah. Nobody can force God's presence on you. That's something you got to build a relationship with him, and you'll get in his presence. He'll want to commune with you. He'll want to fellowship with you. That's when you go after God from your heart. See, when we have all the church buildings, when we all in the church building, we doing stuff to be seen. The preachers get on the pulpit to see how well they can preach and cross those T's and get that charisma and all that good stuff, all that fleshy good stuff. But it don't move God. Amen. It does not move God. It moves man. And it don't move man no closer to God than before they walked in that door. Only thing it's doing is moving in the flip some money in your offering basket. I'm not saying ministry don't cost money, because it is due. I got to pray for the TV broadcast and soon to be podcast that will be starting. All those things I have to pay for. However, your personal relationship with God will bring about you entering into the presence of God. And we really need to get in the presence of God. We can't depend on government. Amen. We can't depend on nobody but God. People wait for a second stimulus check here in the United States. They're going to fight over that. In Congress, they're going to be fighting, scamming and whamming, all kind of stupid stuff. Better trust God. You better lean on God. You better learn how. The scripture says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, when the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You want to know something of the story about Saul in the Old Testament? Listen to this. God wanted to officially anoint him as king. He sent Samuel to put an oil on him, to officially anoint him and get him in his presence. But when God sent Samuel, Samuel heard a pleading from the sheep in the background when Saul was told to destroy everything in that battle that he went to. And Saul kept stout, using the excuse that he was going to sacrifice it to God. And God said, I didn't want it in the first place. Why did you bring it? Why were you trying to sacrifice that stuff? He lost his kingdom. Did you hear me? He lost the anointing of God. He lost being in God's presence. Little sins, not giant sin. It's all about disobedience and obedience. Let's move on. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 4 verse 16 says, and Cain went from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in a land of Nod on the east of Eden. I'll read it again. And Cain went from the presence of the Lord and dwell in a land of Nod. Who was Cain? I tell you, he was a murderer. Cain murdered his brother. He murdered Abel. He murdered Abel because Abel offered a better sacrifice to God than him. Cain offered garbage to God. That's how some folks are. They live a shabby life before God. Then they get mad when God elevates and bless you. They get mad with you. So Cain killed his brother Abel. The earth cried out and God said, Cain, what is it that you done? Me, I ain't do nothing. He said, why is it that your brother blood cried out? I ain't done nothing. Oh, I guess he fell and knocked on his head. He must be stumbled over his toes. He murdered his brother. And he was kicked out of the presence of God. He can no longer be in God's presence. That's an awful feeling. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you got kicked out of God's presence, God ain't going to help you. You on your own. Did you hear what I said? You can pray all you want. When God kicks you out of his presence, you're on your own.
Amen.
Not going to help you. He's not going to walk with you. He's not going to talk with you. Not anymore. And that was Cain. Cain was put out of God's presence. Adam and Eve were put out of God's presence. Satan came out of God's presence to mess with Job. We trying to get to God's presence. These people are messing up with God's presence.
Amen.
That's something to think about. Let's move on. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. And verse 29. This is for everybody to listen to and understand. This verse is for all the preachers, all the bishops, all the apostles, all the archbishops, or whatever you call yourself today. It says, no flesh should glory in his presence. You being a bishop, you being an apostle, you being an archbishop, you being Dr. Dudeeba. You can have 5 million followers on Twitter, 10 million followers on Periscope. You got the biggest television ministry on the planet. It don't mean dope. It does not mean anything. You're not going to stand in God's presence bragging about what you did. You ain't nobody special. I know preachers run around saying you special. Like Trump told all those crazy people they were special. They ain't special. They're a bunch of sinners just like him that need to repent of their sins. Oh, I don't beat around the bush. No flesh. I'm not going to stand before God and say, now, Lord, I had a TV broadcast. I was on Periscope, Twitter, YouTube. I got a podcast. I got this. I got that. God gonna look for me and say, depart from me. He work of iniquity. You're focused on yourself. Many preachers going to wind up like that. They're wrapped up in themselves. They're not thinking about souls. They're not thinking about getting in God's presence. They're trying to get everything on this earth to make them look good and feel good. And the gospel is nothing about that. The scripture says plainly, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. None. Nobody. Nobody's glorying in God's presence. Nobody's going to be jumping up and down that I did this and I did that. All the men and women of God's job is to work together for the building up the kingdom. Not your kingdom. I got to shake that out. Everybody got the kingdoms and dominions. You got to get in God's presence for yourself. You got to get your life in line with God and let God's presence truly flow with you. I'm serious. Your yakety-dack prayer and cutting it, you got to really get in tune with God. You got to call on God and ask God to bring you into his presence. Because there's healing, deliverance, yokes are broken, lives are changed. Some of your family may get saved. You get in God's presence. But you continue to live this mediocre life. You don't want to surrender your whole life to God. You want to play this mediocre salvation thing. Watch, mark my word. When the Lord returns, you're going to get left behind. Because he does not like cold folks. Either you're hot or cold. And you're cold, you ain't walking with him. He don't like nothing lukewarm. I'm the same way. I don't like lukewarm nothing. Either give me nice cold juice and ice cream or boiling hot tea or food. Don't bring me no lukewarm food. I had a dog when I was a kid named Sheba. Sheba was a different type of German Shepherd. You wouldn't find one of those around today. Sheba only took your meat off your plate if it was boiling hot. If your food wasn't hot, she'll snip while you ain't looking, and she know if it ain't hot, it's going to stay on that plate. But brother, you get up from that table and turn your back, Sheba going to take your steak, your chicken, and it's gone. You're going to be chasing. I'm serious. Okay, I was a crazy kid. Yes, I did. I got even when I ate her dog food. I was a crazy kid. She ate my food. A dog bit me one time. I bit him back. That dog looked back at me. I was crazy. Well, I said, you bit me first. I bet you that dog never messed with me again. That dog thought I was crazy. But Sheba was the type of dog that would eat hot boiling food only. If it wasn't hot, she wasn't touching. You could walk away, go around the house, anywhere you want, come back. That food wasn't hot. That food gonna still sit on that plate. Sheba wasn't touching it. But if that food was hot, brother, you ain't getting no meat tonight. Turn your back. Wink your eye. She gonna snatch that chicken. I can never forget that. She was something else. She steal your food. And back then, you know, you wasn't getting a whole lot of piece of chicken and steak and all that kind of stuff. You got one piece that was. But she made sure she got it before you got it. The scripture says that no flesh will glory in his presence. Getting in God's presence and staying there are two different things. Once you get in God's presence, you want to stay there. You want to remain in God's presence. I notice how people mess people up totally, that they lose out with God totally. That's why the Bible says, be surety of your friend. Make sure these people are your friend. All these people running around calling you, everybody's not your friend. When we were kids, and my son, when he was younger, he always said, oh, that's my friend. Oh, that's my friend. Oh, that. I said, man, everybody is your friend. Oh, of course, he didn't listen. He learned later. He learned later. He learned the hard way. Trust me, he did. Because he's running around, everybody's my friend. I watched one of his so-called friends beat up his brother in front of my house. Okay? His friend. You got to be careful about making friends with the enemy. Enemy will take you right on out. He don't care. He doesn't regard you because you ain't nobody in his sight. He's been in glory. And the funny thing about it, he can never get back to spending eternally in glory. He don't care about you. He does not and will not. Let's move on. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. It's your first Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 says, listen to this, folks. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Listen to that. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from his presence, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? What is God saying? If you continue to live in sin, you will be destroyed by the presence of God when you stand before him. When you die and stand before God, let me tell you something. Today, more so people talk about, I'm sure some of y'all heard this, more so people talk about getting caught up to heaven. Very few of those people ever mention that God is holy. Very few of them ever mention anything about God's presence. I'm serious. I've listened to some of them. They talk about, excuse me, if they talk about things that they seen Moses, or one person said he seen, Solomon. One person said that when they were in heaven, they seen pizza parlors. Taco Bell? Not Taco Bell. Wendy's. They talk about all this stuff was in heaven. But ain't a soul mention anything about God's presence. All through the Bible, from the Old Testament, when God gave instructions to make the ark and the tent for where the priest went to the holy, it all talk about God's presence. But here these jokers today, they getting all these bizarre revelations and never mention that God is holy. They never mention that they went into God's presence. They always talk about Jesus came walking up to them and said, "Let me show you around." Jesus Christ is in his glory by himself, not even talking about the Father. But yet they say, Jesus walked up to them and said, "Let me show you around." Or the angel walked up to them and say, he said, "Ooh, who's that?" "Oh, that's Jesus over there in the corner." I'm serious. Some of them people ate too much pork chop the night before. That's why they're having a revelation. Some of them need to get off their medication that they're taking. Then they'll stop having all those crazy revelations. Let me tell you something that's a fact. God's presence affects a person permanently. You could go to the doctor and let them do an operation on you, but I'm going to tell you something else. You get in God's presence and he heal you, you got permanent healing. You don't have to go back to the doctor for them to fix nothing. I'm not against doctors operating on people. I'm telling you a fact. When God healed me of that hit on the eye I had, I ain't never had to go to no doctor to this day. When I was struck with that virus, God raised me up. It ain't make-believe. People talk about getting in God's presence, or they going to heaven, and people follow all this foolishness that they went to heaven. I mean, and one lady, she had a full series on going to heaven. She was talking about all the places in heaven and this. And she never mentioned anything about God being holy, reverencing God, nothing. I want to tell you something. God do not change. Do you hear me? God never, ever, ever changes. He was holy then, and he's holy now. He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I am that I am." He don't change. Amen. People change, and people love the lie. That lying spirit been flowing out of the president because he's a liar. He got that lying spirit in him. So he's been lying so much, that spirit been flowing from him and a whole lot of people. You got to watch who you follow. Notice all those people following him? All of them a bunch of liars. Amen. He's holding the Bible upside down at a follow-up. So all day running around holding crosses up. Oh, God. And God is saying, "I ain't with that mess. Don't be lying on me. I ain't no racist. I ain't no murderer. Why are you lying on me?" They got to get in God's presence. They need to get out of the presence of men and get in God's presence. You get in God's presence, I'm telling you, your life going to change. You'll be able to stand the storms of life. Let's move on. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. chapter 33 and verse 14. Listen to this. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Let me read it again. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That's something. God was talking to Moses. Moses wanted to know, him going back to the children of Israel to bring them out of Egypt. And God said, and he said, my presence shall go with thee. You want to know what the scripture says? It says, therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God, the children of God. If you read the rest of that verse, it says, I will give thee rest. Take God, you know what? It's really true. You can actually take God's presence with you. I remember when my pastor, late Apostle Johnny Washington, but that man was in the building, you knew he was there. I'm telling you. His presence, the presence would be there. I never experienced nothing like that in my life. That man was a godly man. That man walked with God. Oh my gosh. Man was a true man of God. And that's what he talked about, getting in God, getting alone with God, getting in God's presence constantly. Amen. He used to put us on 50-day consecration to seek after God. We used to go on a 50-day consecration to call on God, get closer to him. But his presence would be there. You know he was there. I said, Pastor was there, wasn't he? He said, yeah, he was there. Get with the presence of God. And let God's presence go with you when you go to work, when you get in your car. See, that's another thing. If you want God's presence, you can't have everybody in your car. You can't have everybody in your house. Because they're going to bring all them crazy spirits with them. People, adults that have children, they got to be real careful when their children come in. Now, if you notice during the virus, when anybody come in the house, they spraying them down and make them spray their shoes. That's how you got to do in the spirit with people. You got to know who to let cross your door. Because if you don't, they're going to disrupt the spirit in your home. They're going to bring all those chaotic spirits. And if you notice, when they go, the spirit goes with them. Amen. The madness goes with them. The scripture says here, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And that's what people need today. They ready to rest from worrying about the bills and what's going on with this outbreak. They need to rest in God. They need to have confidence in God, that God is going to work in their behalf, and that God is going to work problems out for them, and God is going to bring the deliverance they need. Many people have died from this. They're saying, I think it's 400,000 people have died from this outbreak in the United States. They're not talking about other countries. So we talk about millions of people have died from this outbreak. Here in the United States, a lot of these people died because of leadership ignorance and willful determination not to tell the truth.
Amen.
That's why it's important who you follow. That's why it's important that you have God at the head of your life.
Amen.
Some of them people would be alive today. They didn't plan to die. Some of them were planning to buy homes, cars, get married, have babies. They didn't plan to die. But because of bad leadership, lying and lying, that lying spirit flowing from people, from the high up to the low down leaders, lying, caused all those people to die. Some say, oh, most of them were sick. They were not. They just saying that. Because there's zillions of sick people that have recovered. Those, a lot of those people that had nothing wrong with them, died from that virus. Once it got into their system and in their mind, it killed them. I don't beat around the bush about it. Because I know personally from experience that virus, it affects you mentally. Amen. Thank God God's on my side. Hallelujah to God. This is a day we've got to get in God's presence for us. It's not about whamming and scamming and trying to impress people. This is about your personal life.
Amen.
People got to go to work, and you don't know what the people that they work with, who they've been around during the weekend, and you go back to work, you don't know. You really don't know. Let's move on. Let's go to Psalms 16. I'm just about finished. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Listen to this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I'll read it again. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Now let's listen to this. As I said before, a lot of those people who claim they went to heaven, they don't fulfill that scripture. Did you hear me? They don't fulfill that scripture because it said, "In thou shalt show me the path of life. In your presence is the what? Fullness of joy." You don't hear them talking about that.
Amen.
You don't hear them talking about being in the fullness of joy. Unspeakable joy. They don't hear them talking about that. They talk about who they met running around. I've heard people went underwater, came up and moving around and floating in the air. And they were floating over here. They went to check out their mansion and they went to do all this other stuff. But I haven't heard them say this part of the scripture. It says here, thou shalt show me the path of life, in thy presence in the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand is pleasures forevermore. I don't hear them talk about that. The Bible says, tried and by the Spirit and by the Word of God, whether that be true or not.
Amen.
Okay? God wants us to get in His presence to experience the fullness of joy. I remember years ago, I was in the service. I don't consider myself to be a real emotional person. Not really. I was in the service back in Tabernacle. I was about 20, maybe 28. I don't know. And the service was going now. I just begin to cry out of joy. And I'm just crying. I'm trying to figure out why am I crying. I'm crying out of joy. When we get in God's presence, when we get to know God's presence, you could get in the fullness of joy. You could have joy in the midst of the storms. Everybody else pulling their hair, you're going about your business. Did you hear me? Everybody else pulling their hair out about what's going on. How am I feed my kids? How am I do this? You're going on praising God and thanking God because you know He's the way maker, the provider, the yoke breaker, and burden bearer. That's Him. And it says, and at thy right hand, that's the part. He said, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now listen to this. The Bible plainly states, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have they entered into the hearts of men the thing that God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him? You can't love the Lord in sin. Don't deceive yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What's all man with man's soul? That's what he's going to reap. Eyes haven't seen, but God has prepared for you. Nobody knows what God has prepared for you. I remember two people at two different times. They told me a dream they had, and God gave me the interpretation, just clear as day. They were both upset about the results of the dream. They told me about something. I can't remember the whole dream of each one. Two different times, two different places. And I told them, I said, you will never get married. You're going to be single the rest of your life. They were mad. Don't say that about that. Don't say that to me. I said, I'm only telling you what I see here, what God is saying. You're never, ever going to get married. And both of them have never, ever get married. And they're up in age. God wanted them to stay single. He had great pleasures to do them as a single person. He wanted to bless their life. He wanted to give them this. Yeah, they had a great relationship with God. And God blessed their life. The pleasures that God had for you may not be the same pleasures he had for me. Amen. The car I like to drive may not be the car you like at all. In fact, I know one individual can't stand the car I drive. It's ugly. It's horrible. It's awful. No, it's not. They just don't like it. The Lord directed me to buy that brand of vehicle some years ago, and I stayed with it. God has pleasures forevermore for you if you obey him.
Amen.
I ain't talking about obeying man. I ain't talking about obeying me. I'm talking about obeying God from his word.
Amen.
And giving your life to the Lord and getting your life in line with God. And let God bless your life. So today, this day, you can make a choice to be saved. You can make a choice to get into God's presence and stay there. The Bible says, he that is holy, let him remain holy. Let him still be holy.
Amen.
If there's anybody watching under the sound of my voice that don't know the Lord is your personal Savior, let's pray. Let me lead you to the Lord. Simple, basic prayer. You believe it. You obtain salvation. No thunder, no lightning. Well, if you see thunder and lightning, please let me know, because I ain't seen no thunder, no lightning. Okay, I'm going to say a friend's prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart to be my Lord and my personal Savior. I ask you, Lord, to save me right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, the scripture said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means that. If you do it from your heart, Christ comes in. Now listen, visit the website, tabernacledeliveranceinc.org, and give us a prayer request, a testimony, or become our partner, and help us stay on the air with the television broadcast and the podcast that will be starting shortly. Now listen. Make sure you check out our Twitter page at tabernacle_INC and send a tweet and come apart with us there. And with the YouTube page, the Tabernacle Deliverance Incorporated. And what do you submit? I forgot what you do with these all this technology. But anyway, like the page or whatever they do on YouTube and become a part. Fellowship with us. Let us get to know you. You know who I am. Oh, subscribe. My wife said you got to subscribe on YouTube. So subscribe on YouTube. But you know who I am. I want to get to know who you are. And let God bless you. Because remember, Periscope will be ending shortly. So we won't be on here anymore. We'll be on our Twitter and YouTube and the TV broadcast and podcast. Okay, and two, Wednesday night for Bible study, those that are watching. Be blessed and continue to get in God's presence.